In the parables of Jesus, there is often a surprise or a detail that confuses us. Last week, you might remember the parable of the man who had 100 sheep and one of them wandered away, and he left the 99 in the desert and went after the lost one. Sure, we understand the point that each person is important, each person is so valuable to God, and we love to hear about the rejoicing in heaven over saving one lost sheep. But we also say, well, what about those 99? What about the 99 who get abandoned in the desert? Well, today's parable has an even bigger surprise for us. This is the parable of the dishonest steward. It's actually one of the most controversial parables in the whole Bible, because it seems at first to encourage dishonesty, and that can't be what it means. Well, in the parable, it's no surprise to us to hear about an employee who cheats on his boss. That's not a new story. That's in every age of human history. The manager has been squandering the boss's property. So he's either foolish and incompetent, or worse, he's really a cheating, dishonest employee. When we hear the word squandered, it might make us think of the parable we heard last week, parable of the prodigal, because the prodigal son squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. In other words, that's a bad thing to do, to squander someone else's or even our own money. So this manager, this steward, is going to get fired. That happens all the time. When people get caught doing the wrong thing, they lose their jobs. So it's no surprise. It's also no surprise that this guy cheats some more to try to get some advantage before he gets kicked out of his job. He tries to make the most of a bad situation. That also happens all the time. People change receipts and they keep false records and they do favors for customers under the table and they cheat all the time. That's how people act. That's no shock to us. The shock comes to us when we hear this line from Jesus. The master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. What? He praised him? Does this mean he's not going to fire him? What's the point here? This steward is even worse than he was before, and now the boss commends him, praises him. What's going on here? One common explanation is that the employee didn't really cheat on his boss. He rather gave up his standard commission in order to win the favor of the debtors. Maybe so, but he's still a cheater. He's still not a very good employee, and he still gets commended. How are we supposed to understand this? Jesus helps us out here by telling us directly the point of the parable. He says this: the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. In other words, worldly people, people who are set on the things of this world, work harder and smarter for their worldly security, their worldly life, than spiritual people do for their spiritual security and their eternal life. He's not saying that we should be dishonest. He's not saying that we should cheat and lie or try to bribe our way into heaven. That would make no sense. He's telling us we have to be prudent, wise, shrewd, clever about what we do here so that it takes us or leads us to the goal that we seek. What we do here leads to our future happiness. That's prudence. To be prudent is to exercise good practical judgment about what we are to do. And Jesus is telling us that's what we should do, just like worldly people do. Everybody knows that money and possessions are limited. Everybody knows that we can't take any of those things with us when we die. Everybody knows that money cannot buy happiness. Those are standard truths. And therefore, this is the part people miss, therefore, it's not prudent to expect money or possessions to provide us with lasting happiness. It's not prudent. But even that knowledge doesn't stop people from living for money. Many people do. Live for money, live for financial security, live for worldly comforts, material possessions. Many people make these things their highest priority. Even though they know it won't last, they still try to make the most of it. Sometimes, you would say, they make a god of these earthly things. And Jesus here is saying, use the same principle that they use for what is even more important. It's a challenge. He's challenging us. He's saying, don't let worldly people outdo you. Don't let them put you to shame. Don't let them embarrass you by working harder for lesser things than you do for higher things. If they can work so hard, if they can be so clever, if they can be so successful, so prudent, well, so can you. In fact, you should do even more. That's what he's saying here. The other day, I saw a headline on the internet. In fact, it caught my attention because I knew that we would have this gospel today. And the headline said something like this: man who retired young with $3 million says getting rich didn't make him happier. Here's what did. That's why it caught my attention. Okay, having $3 million and retiring young didn't make him happier. Here's what did. And I read the article. The man explains that he worked very hard. He got a good job when he was young, which not everybody does, but he got a good job. He saved most of his salary. He invested it wisely. He lived very simply. By the time he was 30 years old, he was worth $1 million U.S. But he was miserable. He was working 60 hours a week at a job he didn't enjoy, and he was worth $1 million. He says he was miserable, but he kept doing it. 3-4 more years, he kept doing the same, kept living the same way. By the time he's 34, with all his clever investments and his very simple living, saving most of his salary, he was worth $3 million. So he retired. That's enough money to live on. You could live on your whole life with $3 million. People dream of doing things like this. People think this would be the way to be happy. And this man discovered he still wasn't happy. Well, of course he wasn't happy. He was a slave to his work for years. No mention of a family. I don't know if he had a wife, children, did he have any friends? I mean, all he did was work for money. That was his whole life. He was just a rich slave rather than a poor slave. Then it says in the article, well, what? Being rich didn't make him happy. What made him happy? This is where the article really disappointed me. I thought he would discover the importance of family or of friendship, or the treasure of loving others or serving others or the joy of generosity or something like that, finding happiness in making other people happy. I mean, that's basic wisdom. Even secular people know this much. It doesn't take faith. But this man, He didn't get into anything of real depth. All he did is say, we'll be happier if we try new things, if we do what we love, that sort of thing. That's not very satisfying. At least he did find some happiness when he served as a coach for some high school athletes. And he said how happy he was to see the athletes excelling and sometimes winning. Great, great. But still pretty empty, if you ask me. Besides, I mean, he's the exception. How many people can retire early? Most people can never retire. Most people never have enough to live on like this. So, well, what do we expect to learn from a random article from the internet? It's not even prudent to think that we would get much wisdom from such a source. Where do we turn for wisdom about how to live? We turn to the gospel. And what does Jesus teach us in this gospel? Let's go back to what the reading says here. Here's a fundamental principle from Jesus. No servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and Mammon. Mammon stands basically for worldly wealth. You cannot serve God and wealth, God and money. What do we learn from Jesus? We are servants. We are stewards. We are managers. By definition, we are not the top boss. We are not God. People talk about being a self-made man or making it on our own, that sort of thing. Well, we did not create ourselves. God created us, so we don't get to decide everything about what is right and good. We're stewards. It's just a very basic truth that if we don't accept that or acknowledge it, we will never be happy. But we can be happy if we realize we are stewards. And then, whom do we serve? Either God or money. One or the other. This is what Jesus says. One or the other. It can't be both. And they're not the same. It's not two equal choices. It's prudent to serve God. It's not prudent to serve money. If we serve money, and many people do, we serve a temporary master that will ultimately fail us. It won't do us any good when we die. If we serve God, if we see the purpose of our life in our relationship with God, then we not only have sure hope for a bright future, because God is merciful, God wants us to be happy more than we want it, not only do we have that confidence in the future, but we also have principles that guide us now, what we are to do with our time and money while we're still here. Not that mammon is bad in itself, but that we should be clever, we should be prudent so as to use it according to the will of God, to be good stewards. So if we want God to commend us for our service, for our prudence, the way the master commended that dishonest steward in today's surprising parable, then we must be prudent stewards. Work hard for God and for his kingdom. Be clever for God and for his kingdom. Use your money and all that you have for God and for his kingdom. That's what it's for. Serve others, especially the poor, for God and for his kingdom. That's a prudent way of life. And then, when money fails you, and it certainly will, then God himself will welcome you into your eternal home.